Okay, everyone, welcome Alexa to the
Hi,
podcast.
guys.
We are so excited to have you here today. Thank you for coming on.
I am so excited to be back on. I'm so honored to be a recurring podcast member.
Well, I was telling Rooms before we started recording this that your first episode that you recorded with us is one of our most listened to episodes.
That is,
So,
I'm like, oh my gosh, that's amazing.
you were requested to come back on. I loved your episode. I thought it was so cute. So this one's going to be even better.
I
I loved
know.
our episode, and I love that that was our first time meeting,
I
and now
know.
we're like all besties.
I love that.
I know. Isn't that crazy? I feel like today you coming over to record this episode with us felt so much more relaxed. I remember the first time you were coming over. I was so stressed.
Oh my gosh. I was wearing like heels, full beat. Like it was intense. But now I'm just like, I'm just going to hang out with the girls, have a spritz.
I know. It feels so effortless, and I love that. And I feel like since we recorded last time, a lot in your life has changed. So we need to do a little life update, give everyone the full rundown on what your life is looking like now. The last time Alexa came on, just to give you guys some context, was about 6 months ago. She had kind of recently graduated from SMU and she was working at LTK. And now you are creating content full time on Instagram and TikTok.
I am. It's definitely been like a whole new year, new me situation, kind of unintentionally, but that's just how it worked out. Yeah, like you said, I was working at LTK and I loved it. But what I didn't mention originally in that first podcast recording was the position that I had was LTK's entry level position. This is the way that everyone pretty much gets involved unless you have lots of experience, which I did not. So obviously started that entry level, and it's a seasonal 6 month position. So you do that 6 months, you get super well versed, and then the hope and the goal is to transition to a full-time position once that seasonal position is up. And when 2024 Q1 rolled around, there was nothing open in terms of need at LTK, so there was just no reason to keep several assistants on full time. So they released all of us. There were several people in my position. And I, at first, was a little sad about it only because I felt like I worked really hard and I felt like I was doing a really good job at LTK. And I thought that I deserved a full time position, but that's just not how life works. So I really embraced it. And my parents were like, this is an incredible opportunity for you to do social media full time. You've always wanted to do this. And I was like, you know what? You're right. Having that outside validation
I love that your
on my
parents were so
dreams. Oh my
supportive.
gosh, I've gotten so lucky with that. So
That's
like
so
everyone in my
great.
family is very creative in different ways. My dad is very traditional finance. My mom is a broadcast journalist. She loves the creative side, but like always, always, always pushing for us to just do what we love. Because like I said in our first podcast, when you're doing a job that you love, you never work a day in your life. So I just kind of stepped into that social media position very abruptly. They gave us 3 days notice.
That's
You're
wild.
kidding.
3 days notice. That is one thing that I was like, this is insane. But I had social media to kind of fall back on because it was something I was already doing. And I was like, wait, this is amazing. I have so many ideas. I can actually spend the whole day doing them. So that's where we are right now. And I've been loving it. I've been embracing it, taking it day by day. Of course, still looking here and there, but the job market is really not the vibe right now. So I've really just been leaning into social media right now, and it's been very fruitful so far.
I feel like it's all in God's plan, like
100%.
and like a blessing in disguise too.
100%.
So you've always wanted to do this, so.
I know. I always say that when you show God your plans, he laughs. And I just think that remains so true. With everything I planned to stay at LTK, I hoped and planned, didn't work out. So this was not my plan, but it was a dream come true, really. This is not, couldn't have worked out better.
I do want to say, like, I feel like Alexa, you're someone who has handled this entire situation with so much grace.
Thank you.
Like, you have been so poised throughout, like, having your plans change so abruptly. I mean, 3 days notice is wild.
Very.
You know, obviously that was not your plan. And I feel like you just find the positive in everything. And you're like, okay, well, let's view this as not a problem. Let's view it as an opportunity.
Absolutely.
What can I do to, you know, make this waiting period, as you were calling it, more comfortable for you until like you hear about a full-time position from them or like whatever. And I also think like it's funny. So the last time we recorded with Alexa was the first time we met her, obviously, but since then we've become pretty good friends. And
Very good friends.
Alexa would always say, like, I, you know, bottom line, doing social media full-time is my dream. That's what I've always wanted to do. Like, I would love to be a full-time influencer. And I know that Alexa believes in manifestation and God's plan and like destiny and all of that stuff that we also kind of touched on last time. Mm-hmm. And it's so funny to me because I think you really did speak this into existence a little bit.
Yeah.
And just like kind of how you did your job at LTK, if you guys are curious about hearing how she got her job in influencer marketing at LTK, you can listen to the first episode that we recorded with her. But she talks about like kind of how she manifested that job.
It was divine timing for sure.
Yeah, divine timing, all of that stuff.
Yeah.
And kind of like how you can do that for yourself. But I think this was almost like unintentional, if you will, manifestation.
Completely.
Because you would always say like, oh, I wish I was a full-time creator, yeah, whatever. And now it's like God was like, okay.
Yeah. I know. It always makes me laugh. I feel like our two episodes that I've had with you guys have come at that exact time where, mm-hmm, I had divine timing the first time getting that job and now divine timing now falling into social media. And I think it's just ever since I kind of let go, I've always been very type A and I've always had a very tight grip on my 5-year plan and what I expect in my life and this very linear kind of life plan that everyone expects of you when you graduate, going into a full-time position. Social media doesn't really fall in that. So I never even really considered that in my 5-year plan, if you will. But whenever I released control of that and just kind of allowed the universe or God, whatever you believe in, to kind of just take the reins with that, that's when everything started working out in my favor. And I just believe so wholeheartedly in that. And I think that has been beneficial for my career, obviously, but also for my sanity, because there is nothing worse than making set plans for yourself and then having none of them go to plan.
Yeah.
It's just demoralizing. So when you finally let go and you're like, hey, I'm safe. Like, I am so blessed. Everything will work out for me. They do. Everything does. So
yeah,
recognizing that has been a huge thing for me. And I'm very, very, very calm about everything. Losing my job and having 3 days notice, very calm.
Like, that's what I'm saying. So much grace. Like, me? Oh, me?
I would have been having a nervous breakdown.
No, but if that had happened to me even just 6 months ago, I would have been in the same place that you guys are saying right now. Total breakdown. It has been a huge shift in my whole life. And that is just with everything. If something little, it's even as silly as like if I miss a red light. If I hit a red light and I'm really late, mm-hmm, I'm like, okay, but is this really, really, really going to be the end of the world? No. So even just with little things, it's helped me just remain calm.
I need to shift my mindset and be more like you. Do you feel like your manifestation and affirmations every morning and journaling like really have contributed to this growth?
Yes. Yeah. And I think that learning to do that and actually use it as a tactic to be positive and be calm instead of just going through the motions, that's, mm-hmm, been a big thing. Because you can do affirmations every day, you can journal every day, you can go through the motions and nothing will happen and you'll be like, wait, I'm so confused, I'm doing everything right. But when I finally took the time to actually be very present doing that stuff, mm-hmm, and really think about how grateful I am, really think about what I'm setting intentions for, that's when things start getting really good.
I'm going to backtrack a little bit.
Please.
For everyone who's listening right now, if you follow Alexa on social media, I feel like you show your routines a lot and you do talk a lot about
a like routine.
Wellness. Like, you don't, I mean, I feel like honestly just following you and seeing how you live your life kind of like is very inspiring in, yeah, that way. Not that you're necessarily like preaching about it a ton.
Thank you.
But anyway, she's a very good example of somebody who I feel like is very in touch with their like inner self. And that's
Thank
what I
you.
Get from your socials a lot. And I love following you for that reason, because I feel like you have like a really good like inner compass, if you will. And I just love all that stuff. I'm also like very much the same way. I mean, I feel
I get
like
I that same vibe from you 100%.
Show it in my content as much, but I feel like a huge part of me, like even just becoming a creator, was kind of getting to know myself more and
sure.
the journaling and the affirmations and the what do I really want, and like also being able to like release other people's like opinions of me, mm-hmm, and all of that stuff, which is just like a whole different conversation. But I was going to ask you, like, what is kind of like your routine to like get in a healthy, productive, low anxiety mindset?
I think every good day starts off with a great morning routine. And not everyone's a morning person. I wouldn't even consider myself a morning person, and that's totally fine. But just even having a few things to check off your list every morning, mm-hmm. it's as little as making your bed. That is something that you've completed in the morning, and that automatically sets your day off in the right tone and really just kind of sets the stage for what the rest of the day is going to look like. So there's never a day that I don't make my bed. That is a non-negotiable. That must happen. But my routine, I try and keep it very low stress. So I only incorporate things that I really like. And I also change it from day to day if I'm not feeling certain things. So my routine is as follows. I normally wake up around 7 a.m. or if I need to sleep, I'll sleep longer. But generally speaking, 7 a.m. And the first thing that I do is I will go work out because I cannot work out in the afternoon. It will not happen if I don't do it right when I wake up. It's not happening at all. Mm-hmm. So I've been loving Pilates. It's a workout that I love. I haven't always loved working out or had a great relationship with working out. It's always been it used to be a thing that I just wanted to check off because it's like healthy for you, but I didn't enjoy it. And that's just like not the vibe and not the mindset to have. So I found Pilates and I love it. So incorporating that in my morning routine it's a time for me to just kind of relax, but I know that I'm also taking care of my body while I'm doing it so I can think and be mindful because it's very calm, very quiet, mm-hmm. but I'm also doing something good for myself and I always leave feeling so refreshed. So that's step one. Step two, I guess, after waking up. Then I love to go home, take a quick body shower, do a little skincare, and then I'll always make a cold brew and I'll sit down and do some journaling. And I'll usually journal and like gratefulness. And I've recently been incorporating daily devotionals, which I also love. That's normally like a 20 to 30 minute adventure. And I love that time just to sit down and like be silent with my thoughts. Because mm-hmm. as a content creator and in really any job, your entire day is filled with just people talking, the hustle and bustle. If I'm scrolling, looking for sounds, I mean, that's a lot of noise and a lot of stuff that I'm consuming on social media. I need that time every morning to sit down and just like be present. So that I would very much attribute to be like the number one thing that sets my day up on the right foot. Just those 20 to 30 minutes. It doesn't need to be that long if you don't want it to, just to be calm. And then from there, always get myself put together. Even if I'm not doing anything, if I'm sitting down to edit, I will get myself together because I want it to feel like I'm being productive mm-hmm. and being in a fun outfit with a little bit of makeup on just makes me feel ready for the day.
That always helps me too.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a really good tip.
Can't be productive in sweatpants. I just can't.
I love what you said about scrolling for sounds because I think this is extremely relevant to everyone who's not even a creator. I mean, as somebody who posts on TikTok every day, it is overwhelming for sure.
100%.
But this is something I was even talking to Max about the other day. The noise, the like background noise, mm-hmm. the just, I don't know the word I'm searching for right now, but the like purposeless noise, yeah. if you will.
Totally.
Is so annoying. Like, and also like toxic kind of. Like,
it's very unhealthy.
Super unhealthy. Like yeah. the TV always playing in the yeah. background. Like the mm-hmm. like it's overstimulating.
100%. I was reading an article. This scientist was saying that humans, we are not biologically made to be consuming what we consume on a day-to-day. Like the stuff that we see in nature, the reason we feel so at peace in nature is because that is how we were biologically designed to take in certain, you know, sensory stuff. The phones and the TVs and the TikTok and all of this overconsumption is so bad for our mental health. And that's why people get so drained. Mm-hmm. Like when I'm sitting scrolling on my phone, even if it's for the purpose of finding a sound, so I'm not actually watching, I still feel drained after.
Yeah. It's so like my heart like yes. will race if I'm like that.
Very overstimulated.
Yeah. 100%. There's a literal biological reason why we feel that way.
It's I'm going to get out and touch grass or something.
I know. I've got to touch grass. And I had such a good quote come across my brain the other day. I didn't think of this, but I forget where I heard it. It was like, you should aim to create more than you consume. So yeah. like your output should be greater than your input mm-hmm. as a human being, essentially. I mean, especially as somebody who's a creative in general, but like whatever that means for you is what that means for you. Like for me, it could be making TikToks or it could be like working on my needlepoint or like literally journaling in the morning, just like writing down my thoughts right when I wake up or whatever it is. But like, think about it, like how much you read and like watch on TV and watch on social media and the amount of input you have on a daily basis compared to the amount you're putting like out is so imbalanced. So like, even if you can just aim to create in this world, like as much like information, things, whatever, as you consume, like I think internally you feel like a lot more at peace. I don't know why, but it works for me.
I completely I completely agree. And I think also that adds to the idea of feeling productive. Mm-hmm. If I'm sitting scrolling, I do not feel productive at all. Even if it's for the purpose of finding a sound to add to a video that I've made, doesn't feel productive. But if I'm creating something, hello, job done. Productivity through the roof. So trying to find that balance, that's been one of my New Year's resolutions actually, was to create more, consume less.
Yeah, same.
Literally what we just said. But if I'm sitting scrolling, I could probably be posting something.
Yeah, probably.
So that's been something that I've been trying to do.
Especially if you're a creator, because then you also don't get in that comparison mindset.
Oh my gosh.
Because it's
don't
so
even
easy.
Get me started.
Yeah, that's like a whole different conversation.
We could talk about that for hours.
I'm curious, do you have any like journaling products, mindfulness products that you recommend? I use the 5-minute journal. I don't know if you use that one.
I love the 5-minute journal. And the 5-minute journal is great. And I think it's a really great gateway product, if you will, because after a certain point, I still do it every day. I've been doing it for 2 years. But I think it becomes more of a routine thing that I just like check off. And sometimes I'll have to like reset and be like, okay, wait, let's actually think through these prompts and like take our time to do them instead of just being like, I need to do this because this is like my mindfulness of the morning. So another one that I love is the Life and Style Journal or Life and Style Planner. It's by Intelligent Change, the same company that does the 5-minute journal. I think you would love it because it mixes in a planner and the 5-minute journal.
I love that.
So I need that.
Yeah,
I need that.
Amazing. I love it so much. So that's another one that I love because I still like to plan. I've been trying to release things, but you know, my daily to-dos, never going to release that. We're not going to be that spontaneous. So it helps you write down what you have to do, set intentions for your week. It's like a weekly thing. So you have your week at a glance where you can like set goals for the week, intentions for the week, top things to do for the week, and then your daily stuff where you can add in affirmations and stuff like that. So it's really wonderful.
Love.
Yeah. I love that one. And then I've also been getting into just like journaling on my own, which is more recent.
Do you have any good prompts for that? Because I feel like it's kind of intimidating to sit down and stare at a blank journal. So do you have any good prompts?
Absolutely.
Wait, prompts are everything.
Prompts are everything. And I do get a lot of that inspiration from Pinterest. If I look up journal prompts, if I'm not feeling inspired, it definitely
good tip. That's a good tip. Go on Pinterest, look up journal prompts and affirmations.
Absolutely.
On Pinterest are so good.
Some of the ones that I do like on a daily basis are how am I feeling, and what can I add or subtract from my life to feel more fulfilled. And like those are two of my favorites that I always do because it really forces me to look more deeply in my heart and in my soul. And if you take it at face value, it's like, how am I feeling? I'm feeling great. But if you go a little bit deeper, it kind of forces you to really look into what's going on in your life. And you'd be shocked. I'm writing sometimes and I'm like, wow, I really have never expressed that. I'm feeling really good. And it makes you feel it feels like a release. So that's one of my favorites.
I love that.
Definitely changes on a day to day. I would say Pinterest is my go-to. If I'm not feeling inspired, then Pinterest is the place to go.
Are you a really big list maker?
Yes.
Yeah, you give me those vibes.
I love a good list.
That's my love language.
Oh my gosh. The notes that I have on my notes app, ridiculous. I'm just lists.
So have you ever done, I'm curious, because I'm a huge list person. I actually prefer to like make a list more than I prefer to like free write in a journal or even like a prompted.
Yeah.
So I love to like kind of mix my list making with some sort of mindfulness thing. So I'll do like a list and I'll do everything I'm loving about life right now.
Love.
And then I'll just like list. And that like, if I'm ever in a bad mood, switches it.
I love it.
If you need to get out of a bad mood, just like, I'll literally just like sit down, blank piece of printer paper, literally anything.
Yeah.
Everything that like is going well for me right now, write it down. And then I swear in 10 minutes, it's like your mindset, you've been reborn. Like, you're like in a great mood.
Yeah. That's so true.
You're ready to like take on the day.
I'll do mental lists a lot, especially if I'm having days where I'm kind of feeling down in the dumps. If like I've spent 3 hours editing a video and then it flops, I'm like not feeling good, I'll take a second and just like list, even just in my head, 15 things that I am so grateful for. Mm-hmm. And they could be as little as just like the beautiful day or being alive. And after I make that list in my head, day's better immediately. So I'm a huge list person. That's what's great about journaling is you can tailor it to fit you. It doesn't have to be this long monologue. Mm-hmm. It can be as short as long as you want. You can write in pink pen. You can write in black pen. You can make a list. You can write a whole.
Type it.
Yeah, like, you can type it. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah,
like whatever you want.
I think people get so intimidated by
they
that.
They do.
Though. Like people are like, oh, it has to like be in this type of journal, and I have to write this way, and my handwriting's horrible.
Womp womp.
I don't know what to say, and all this stuff. Like it's not like. That's
not
serious.
That deep.
Yeah.
I think that the morning pages, like what Kinsey always talks about, how you write on a page
brain
for
dump.
3 minutes. Mm-hmm. Is it 3 minutes? I think that's so interesting.
Yeah.
I kind of want to start doing that because no telling what would come out on that page.
I brain dump at night.
Oh, at night. That's
interesting. I am my most active. My brain cannot shut off for the life of me at night. At nights when I come up with all my video ideas, I have my most profound thoughts. I'm like texting my boyfriend at like midnight being like, oh my gosh. And he's like, why were you thinking about that?
Like when you're
out of your
falling
mind.
Asleep.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. I think it's because it's the one time of day that I'm just laying there silent with my thoughts other than the morning journaling. But like after a whole day of thinking, I'm like, wait, hold on. I didn't think about this today.
That's funny.
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
This just popped into my head. Have you always been like this introspective, or was there like an event in your life that kind of brought about this need to get to know yourself more, to become more mindful, like this wellness practice? Like, have you always been like this? Have you not? Like, what was like the awakening there?
I have not always been like this. Oh my gosh. No, this awakening has been within the last year. And I think it was
You said you've been doing the 5-minute journal for 2 years.
For 2 years. Okay. Yes. But that was more in the beginning, just a routine than anything. It took a little bit for me to actually be like, wait, there's actually a lot of value in
not
doing
just
this.
Going through the motions.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So I was in high school and younger. Oh my gosh. No, I was not introspective at all. I've always been such a people pleaser and just never, ever, ever thought about myself in any situation ever. So introspective could literally never be me. Never think about myself then. And I think it was during COVID, honestly, is when I would have to say this all really started. I was having a lot of health issues and there was a lot of focus on me from family, from doctors, from everything, where I was just like forced to look at like my health. Mm-hmm. And after a while, my mental health was so bad that I was like, this has to change. And after several YouTube videos on how to fix your mental health, I learned that you kind of just have to learn how to love yourself.
Yeah.
And I realized that I had not been doing that at all for a very, very, very long time. And that journey was a very long process, but was the most beneficial thing I've ever been through. And I think at the end of that, I would say it wasn't until honestly my senior year of college that I was finally like, wait, I'm obsessed with myself mm-hmm. in the least weird way possible. Like I am so grateful to just exist in the human form that I am. And there's so much to love about myself that I never thought about that I decided to like really focus on continuing to maintain that mental health mm-hmm. for myself.
I feel like you have to love yourself to be able to give the best love.
100%.
Mm-hmm.
100%.
So
I agree. And I think there is such a difference in being conceited and then having self-love. Like
completely.
What you were saying, like
completely.
It's not like I'm obsessed with myself.
No.
In a weird way.
Yep.
It's like fully like being self-accepting, but also like working on yourself at the same time. It's a really like weird concept and I don't know how to describe it because I think there's a lot of things that I'm still working on, mm-hmm. like as we all are, like it's always a work in progress. But yeah, because I think I used to be a really conceited person. Like that sounds horrible.
I feel like
it's
we all kind of go through a phase,
like a phase, like where mm-hmm. it's like not like conceited, but it was like I was thinking about myself all the time,
like, just like very selfish.
But the wrong, like for like I'm thinking about like how does my body look? Like what does this person think of me? What does this boy think of me? Like I need to have this type of clothing and this type of makeup and all of this stuff. Another thing about like being conceited and learning to love yourself is I feel like a lot of people have such the wrong perception of influencers mm-hmm. and this topic specifically. Like everyone's always like, influencers can't be that deep. They're so shallow, self-centered, all of this stuff. Like I think for sure I can see how it comes off that way. Like it is a very like sure. interesting concept to just like post your face all over the internet all day, every
day. It's hard to get deep like that. Like this is my first time talking about a lot of this.
Yeah, I know, right? And it's like, but your
content... Doesn't mean we're not capable.
Yes, I think that's like the biggest thing. It's like, you know who I was looking at the other day is Pookie. So Campbell Hunt
Love
Puckett.
Her.
We've talked about her a million times on this podcast. We're like her biggest fans.
We literally are.
Like, it's insane.
I feel like you guys would really get along.
I think so too. Like, you should be friends, Pookie, if you ever want to be. But
Campbell, if you're listening, Amanda, it's Amanda DeWitt. Follow her.
You can come on the pod. anyways, but... I feel like she is such like a salt of the earth person, and I followed her for a few years now, like before she blew up.
Yeah.
And I just like have always like loved her. I don't know how to explain it. Like I just like love this girl. And
valid.
Her comment sections on a reel that she posted the other day are just like so interesting to me. Like people are like, oh, I cannot believe there's a side of the world that's really like this. This girl is so materialistic. It's exhausting.
I love my things.
Is this satire? Like all of this stuff. Like how can you have this many designer bags? Like whatever. And it's like people assume just because like you have nice things, you are
superficial.
A superficial person or like value the wrong things in life or whatever. And it's just interesting to me like how influencers get such that reputation when I will actually go on the record for saying this, and I don't think honestly a lot of people would really credit my opinion here. Not that I want to discredit myself by saying that. Anyways, I'm rambling. A lot of the influencers I've met are actually some of the most like in touch with themselves people mm-hmm. and self people
sure
that I have like ever met, which is like crazy because I didn't expect, like, don't get me wrong, there's been a lot of like letdowns too. Like I've met some people and been like, oh, I feel like you're so different online than you yeah, are in real life, sure. like just to keep it real.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of people I've met too. I'm like, oh my God, like they are such like a well-rounded person. Like they really know themselves. Like they don't really care what other people think of yeah. them. Like they're yeah. very like confident and fearless and whatever.
I totally agree. And I think it all boils down to the fact that it is so hard to put your entire life on social media, because the thing about growing as an influencer is the more followers you have, the more hate you get. Mm-hmm. And so people like Pookie are, I feel like, why are we referring to her as Pookie? I need to start calling her by her first name. Campbell is a beautiful name.
To me, she loves Pookie.
Okay, well, we're going to keep calling her Pookie then. For her, like, she's getting so much... she's like the girl right now.
Yeah.
She's getting so many followers, but her comment sections are horrible. These people are just saying all this stuff about her. And it's like, to be a successful social media figure, you have to be able to take all of that in and really just let go of all the stuff that's bad. But you're getting all of these comments about people talking about what they think about you and how you come off to them. Mm-hmm. And in order to push through that, you have to be a very confident, self-loving person. Because I will say for the first times that I was doing, like at first when I was doing social media, when I would get a hate comment, like it would ruin my week.
Anybody who reaches that level of like internet fame or yes. fame in general, like the opinions they value, that circle is so small by mm-hmm. that point.
Yeah.
Like I'm telling you, like not one of those comments has fazed that girl. Like it yeah. has not let her be sidetracked from like her vision for like who she yeah. is at all.
Yeah, like, you just have to be self-confident and not be looking for outside validation, because you'll get that validation, but it's not going to mean anything unless you have internal validation
exactly.
as well.
Exactly. Also, when are people going to realize, like, all PR is good PR? Like, if you're
That is my favorite quote in the entire world. Whenever I get hate comments, I'm like, my video is probably doing well. Mm-hmm. God bless.
Literally, that comment it's reaching you.
Is bringing me money. Thank you, God.
Just going back to gratitude, too. It's so funny. It's like, I'm literally grateful for the hate, because if somebody has something to hate about me, it means I must be, like, worthy of your thought right now. Like, if you're, like, going to form an opinion about me, it means that I was interesting enough to you.
Or they're jealous of you.
Was interesting enough to you for you to take the time out of your day to
take your energy.
Your time, your energy to leave a mean comment.
Yeah. I literally could not imagine sitting there being like, God, Alexa's hair looks so greasy and bad.
Let me tell her. Because so on the other end of the phone, I'm probably like, God, my hair looks so bad, but I'm going to post this anyways.
Like, who cares?
And I'm like, okay. And? Don't care.
I'm just like always flabbergasted by people who like think about others that much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like not to.
Who has that much time like, on their hands?
I'm like so like, okay, I'm doing this and I'm with this person and my friend, my family, my job, my blah, blah, my house. Like not to sound self-centered once again, but it's like I'm not thinking about what Pookie's hair looks like today, even though we're talking about her on this podcast. Like I'm just never going to care. Even if like I literally am so annoyed by something I see online, like I'm never going to like send someone hate.
Yeah.
I'm currently on brand trip hate TikTok. I don't know if either of you can relate.
No, we have to talk about the Tarte trip. So Tarte Cosmetics, y'all know the makeup company. They take their influencers to Bora Bora all the time, or like they went to Dubai last year.
That was awesome.
Thousands.
It was so epic.
Tens of thousands of dollars they spent to take these influencers on this brand trip. People all over TikTok are so triggered by it. They're like, why don't you give back to your customers? You should be taking Tarte shoppers on this trip. Like influencers are so privileged. They have enough money. They can afford to go on this vacation by themselves. You guys, like, this is my thing. And this is what I meant earlier in Ins and Outs when I said I'm, like, on the wrong side of TikTok because I'm on troll TikTok.
Tarte troll TikTok.
Tarte troll TikTok. And it's really, like...
TTTT.
People who have children are the worst. Influencers are the worst. Like, all these people. I'm like, shut up. Anyways. What people don't understand is, like, them going on this trip, like, even if they could afford to go to Bora Bora by themselves, like... If your job asks you to go to LA, are you going to be like, no, actually, let me pay for that work trip out of my own personal checking account?
Right.
Like, literally. It's like, this is a work trip for them.
It also, and this is one thing that has become so apparent to me working on the other side of influencer marketing, people who don't work in social media, and I wouldn't expect people to know this because that's not their job, but the amount of money that these influencers drive to these companies is outrageous.
Oh, yeah.
Outrageous.
Sending them to Bora Bora is cheaper than writing them a check.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Like Emily Kaiser going on all these trips, like she probably gets, this is going to be triggering for people, hundreds of thousands of dollars for one video. And they're sending her to Bora Bora, which is super expensive, but she's going to post a gazillion videos. I think she's been there for like, what, one day? And I've seen like six videos that she's made already.
Yeah.
That is $600,000 if she's charging $100,000 per video. Like that is so much money that they are saving by not paying her out of pocket for that video in particular.
Yeah.
And also, like, I don't know. I think it's fun. And I'm thinking about Tarte, like, oh my gosh, like, that's kind of fun. Like, maybe I should go buy a freaking, you know, concealer because I love Tarte. Like, this looks fun, you know?
You get invested. You're like, okay, what are they doing next?
I love it. And again, it's all that any publicity is good publicity. Like, Tarte is getting publicity. I can guarantee they're gaining followers
from
this.
Here we are talking about Tarte on this podcast today. This is a perfect example. But here are my points are this. Everyone's like, bring your customers. Why don't you bring your customers instead of bringing influencers? I'm not mad at the idea of that.
Sure.
But people have to understand Tarte is using like probably the majority of their marketing budget considering they don't pay for traditional marketing things.
Yeah, I never see them doing brand deals.
TV commercials, even brand deals.
Yeah.
Editorial magazine placements, newspaper, billboards, any of those things you would, if you've worked in marketing, you understand this. And once again, I know it's not the people that work in influencer marketing or have a marketing degree or any of these things that are the ones commenting on these videos, because it's really just a lack of, like, not to sound annoying, but like education around.
Well, sure. If you don't study it, you wouldn't know. And that's not your fault. But
you spending even $5,000 a year on Tarte makeup, that's how many sales someone like Emily Kaiser generates for Tarte like in a week if she wanted to.
Yeah.
And they don't spend their money on brand deals. They put all of their ad budget, which once again is tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars. Mm-hmm. Think about like how much a company like L'Oreal pays to have Selena Gomez apply her mascara on TV, or you see like maybe it's Maybelline, all this stuff on TV. Like commercials, all of that stuff that these cosmetic companies pay for are literally hundreds of thousands of dollars. And if they're not putting their money there, they have to put it somewhere.
Yeah.
So they put it towards these influencers because a trip like this, I mean, like statistically, it drives more sales. Like it's just the way that our world is going.
It really does work because I want the Tarte contour stick.
I know. I want that too. I was thinking about that this morning. See, it's literally like in my thoughts. I was doing my makeup and I'm like, should I get that Tarte?
Well, and also like if I was brought on a trip by anyone, even if it wasn't to Bora Bora, if it was like to freaking West Texas for like a day, like I would preach the heck out of their products. Yeah. Because I'd be so grateful as a creator to have been brought on that trip. Mm-hmm. So I can almost guarantee that these creators that are on there are probably going to be a little bit more vocal about their favorite Tarte products after the fact. So that's just recurring income for Tarte after the fact.
Definitely. Yes,
1,000%. Also, creators who are aspiring to be like someone like Emily, we're using her as an example again, are probably going to talk a lot about Tarte and go to Tarte events when they come to town. And,
it's like Bama Rush now.
Link Tarte.
Everyone knows Bama Rush, and every single year it gets more and more insane.
Yes.
The Tarte trip, everyone talks about it, good and bad, but it gets bigger every single year. Like, people were literally, the deep dives that I was seeing before Tarte was even announcing where they were going was ridiculous. People predicting what they were going to do this year.
Yeah.
That's publicity in and of itself.
Another thing is like, what's so interesting to me too is people are like, okay, we'll use that money to bring your customers instead. Sorry, this one point of this conversation really makes me angry because nobody even realizes, and I'm not saying being an influencer is hard. It's an extreme privilege to have as a job. I'm never going to, like, it's not like you're risking your life every day to be an influencer. And I never want to,
1,000%.
You know, come off like it's the hardest job in the world because it's not. And there's people who do a lot harder things for sure. But also, it doesn't mean that these girls are not having to hold up their end of the bargain when they go on these trips.
Right.
They probably have X amount of story posts they have to post.
Contracts were signed.
Yeah, contracts were signed. You need one static Instagram carousel every single day you're in Bora Bora. Yep. And you have to post with this product, and this product, and link to it X amount of times. You have to talk facing the camera on your Instagram story, all this stuff. So,
and it's mutually beneficial.
It's more than mutually beneficial. I would argue it's actually more beneficial for Tarte than it is for the influencer. Like, yes, they get content out of it, but also Tarte is probably not paying them to go on this trip. So they're taking time away from their personal life, their family, all of this stuff. Yes, they get the experience of going to Bora Bora, but Tarte at the end of the day is a huge company, and they're doing this because they know if they spend X amount of dollars hosting this trip in Bora Bora, the returns they will see from this will be greater than the expenditure.
It's like a work trip.
Business.
It's like a work trip, 100%.
So my thing is, like, if you as a customer would be comfortable going and talking to your Instagram story and posting a static carousel on your Instagram every day of you in a bikini that you were in Bora Bora, and a lot of people would say they would be fine with this, then okay, maybe great, go be an influencer then. My thing is, like, if you're going to be mad that this trip exists, like, I'm glad we live in a world where there's opportunities like this that exist. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to live in a world where, like, nobody's allowed to go on these trips because the economy isn't reflecting, you know, that people should be fortunate enough to go on these trips right now. Like, everyone's like, how insensitive, how tone deaf. Like, I'm just like, I don't know. I'm not going to go down there because I don't want to get canceled that route. But I'm just like, you guys, like, if you're that triggered by this, it's probably a sign that, like, you should try to be an influencer. You should try to go work for a company like Tarte or work in marketing if you're, like, that invested. Mm-hmm. Like, don't expend all your energy just being negative about it.
I also love them because it gives me something to work for.
Exactly. Like, I want to go on that.
Kill to go on a brand trip, specifically for a brand like Tarte, because I love Tarte. Mm-hmm. I would literally do anything. Or even just, like, when I go to, like, in-person events, I am so excited to be there and so grateful to be there. Having stuff like this is, like, that's the peak. That is the pinnacle of influencer life. That is so much fun.
Mm-hmm. No, I would
be so excited.
I love it.
Anyways, thought I got that off my chest. But I think, like, it's a real big thing too, like, just talking about, like, gratitude and everything again. Like, if you're ever triggered by something, like, making it this full circle, what I found, like, I used to be a very jealous person growing up. Like, I would compare my life to other people's lives a lot.
Yep. I'm working on that.
If you, like, are jealous of something, it means it's, like, you should take that as a sign for yourself. Like, oh, that means I want this.
Yeah.
So instead of being jealous, be grateful that you can recognize that you want something and that you live in a universe where, like, it's attainable. Because if you see someone else having something, it probably means you could have it for yourself too.
Right. I completely agree with that. And I was actually thinking about that the other day where it's, like, if I feel that if I'm comparing myself to someone, maybe it's in a content creator that I admire, it's like, I know that I can get there and I'm just jealous that I'm not there yet.
Yeah.
So instead of being, like, upset about it, I'm like, hey, that's the goal. I'm going to,
what do I have to do to get there?
Compete with this girl. She doesn't know that we're competing, but we're competing so that I can get there. But it's like, I'm not jealous of the Queen of England. May she rest in peace. I'm not jealous of that family. Cause, like, that's not attainable in my head. So, like, I'm not jealous of the royal family. Like, that's not.
Yeah.
But people in social media where I'm like, oh, that could be me. Mm-hmm. That's where I see myself comparing, but I am actually currently starting to work at that.
I so agree with that. Mm-hmm. I so agree with that. And I think you just have to I just remember the first time I realized that. And I was like, oh, wow. Like, if I'm jealous of this person's body or something, like growing up, I just felt like, you know, their clothes, their whatever, their makeup. Like, it's a huge reason why I even became an influencer, because I would follow all these girls online and see like, oh my gosh, they get these PR packages. They have this like certain lifestyle. Like, I want that for myself. Like, okay, then let's go get it, I guess.
Yeah, people always say, and I think the quote, I could be butchering this, is like, comparison is the thief of creativity or something like that. 100%. Comparison is the thief of something. I agree. Ah, joy. That would make more sense.
I love that quote.
I agree with that to an extent. I also think there's a part of comparison that isn't the toxic side of comparison, where it's like motivation.
Yeah.
So turning comparison and jealousy into motivation is like step one. Mm-hmm. If you're trying to achieve anything in life, you have role models for a reason. So learning to, instead of look at people with jealousy, instead of doing that, being like, wait, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. Congratulations. You've worked clearly very hard to be there. It's my turn now. I want to be like that. Using that as motivation, that's been a big thing that I've been switching. All the way that you look at things.
You're so mature.
Honey, stop it.
Can you believe that she's literally just turned 23? No, shut up. That makes me want to die. Like,
I've got some work to do.
I just turned 25. I'm thinking about, talking about comparison, I'm thinking about my 23-year-old self. I'm like, I did not have that self-awareness.
I'm a train wreck.
You know but what? Life is not linear.
You're ahead in so many ways.
Thank you so much. I have to ask you.
Please. I'm curious, because talking about jealousy, all of this stuff, you guys have the craziest story. I'll make it quick, I promise, because I know we're running out of time. But
no, so I had this. I could be here all day. This is the longest episode ever. Buckle in, grab a snack, grab a spritz. We're gonna keep going.
I had this lady DM me on Instagram, like in my DM requests, like this whole long thing about like
scared.
How she's like, no, she was like a psychic or something. Oh,
I get those a lot, actually.
What? Really? Okay, I've never had this.
People commenting on my TikToks randomly, being like, I have a vision. And I'm like, do you have a vision, Clarice? I don't think you do.
Okay, but this one was like specific. She slid into my DMs and she was like, I feel like you're destined for such great things, but there's been like certain things that are holding you back recently. Like, you have a lot of like mental blocks, and like you have like a lot of people who are like wishing, not wishing you well.
Praying
and
on
like
your downfall.
All this stuff. Yeah, praying on your downfall. No. Like, no, this whole long paragraph. And
Plot twist, it's me and Reeves. We're praying. Terrible joke. I wish only the best for you.
No, we love you. I'm not worried about you guys. I was like, that's and then so she was like, there's certain relationships in your life that you've had to like step back from recently. Mm. I know. Reeves, you're going to know what and I'll explain to you later. But I have had that. And I was like, okay. So I would never normally reply to something like this, because I'm like, scammed.
That's really intriguing.
Yeah. So I was like, hi, like, continue. And she was like, no, like, there's certain people, I don't even know, like, whatever, like, people preying on your downfall, all this stuff. And I haven't responded to her last message, because I got a little bit freaked out, because I'm like, who is this bitch? Because I looked at her profile and she's like posting pictures of shrooms and all this stuff. So I was like, okay, but you don't know. I don't know.
What vision were you really having?
Yeah, I don't know what visions. But I thought it was like such an interesting thing, because I do believe that like when the universe is trying to send you a message,
it's very apparent.
Mm-hmm. Well, the weirdest things will like happen to like make that message come through. Mm-hmm. So I was going to ask you, long story short, do you believe in the evil eye?
I love the evil eye. I wear it.
I knew you were going to have one.
I have this one. I have this on my necklace.
I think I need to get one.
These are all symbols of good luck. All of them. It's like clover. Stop. And then I have another.
Wait, jewelry
chain right there. I know. I love the evil eye. And I have a friend, her name is Paulina. She works at LTK, and her family is, I'm not actually quite sure, because I know evil eyes are Greek, but I know that her family believes very heavily in the evil eye. I'm not sure if she's Greek. So she noticed that there are three evil eye charm spots on this bracelet, and two of them have fallen out. And she was saying, do you believe in the evil eye? And I was like, to be honest, like, I'm not very well versed in the meaning of it, but I've always like really valued good luck charms and everything like that. She's like, well, when an evil eye breaks or falls out or anything, it means that the evil eye has protected you from a bad energy that would have hit you otherwise and like hurt your life in some way. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's really amazing. And then I remember I was wearing an evil eye necklace or bracelet. I don't remember which one it was. And I went through a really traumatic experience with a friend, and the bracelet broke where the necklace broke, like just the evil eye part of it though broke. And I was like, oh my God, like I'm really sad. My necklace broke, or it was the bracelet, like a new one.
And it was an evil eye bracelet.
Yes. And I was like, when she said that, I was like, oh my gosh. So now I believe very deeply in the evil eye and I always wear it.
Wait. I have to get one.
You do.
Me too. I've got to get one immediately.
You do. I really like the one that I have. I honestly need a new bracelet at some point because we only have one soldier standing.
You have to wait for the third one to break.
Do I?
I don't know. I think you have to because it means like...
This one's protecting me.
I think you're like very protected right now.
I walk with saran wrap or bubble wrap around me at all times. I am very protected.
So you think like other people preying on your downfall could be effective in your life though? That's what I don't understand because I'm like, if I to be honest, like
I believe that people who prey on my downfall are experiencing enough negativity in their own life that I would never hope for karma or anything to get them. Like I would never wish anything bad on anyone. And if someone is really using their own energy to wish bad on me, like that's their own problem.
Yeah.
Do I believe in negative energy being able to affect me? No, I don't. Because I believe in the protection of the evil eye and I believe in the protection of God and the universe. And also, like, I only project good energy, I like to think. So I just don't think that there's bad energy that I could ever let into my life. I try and remove anything negative out of my life.
Yeah, that's a good rule of thumb.
It's not like foolproof, but what if something bad happened to me, I wouldn't think, oh, I attracted that. That would just be like
it's a fluke.
Just another day.
Yeah.
Something just silly happened, you know?
Yeah.
That kind of thing. I never look into anything too deeply. Like I would never follow something to a T. Mm-hmm. I always take everything with a grain of salt.
It's weird because it's like bad things happen. I know they happen like to me because they have before, but I like can't really remember them. Like, does that even make sense? Like when I think back on my life, like I can remember like the monumental bad things, but like, me, like, bumping my elbow and scraping it the other day, like, I forget about it so easily. And I think it's, like, you have to let it go.
Am I saying, like, what I'm saying, understand.
Like, brush it off. If you dwell on bad things happening to you, then it will attract more bad things.
Well, because little things like that happen all the time. Yeah, so I stub my toe, I bump my elbow all the time. If I had looked at every single one of those as a sign from the universe that I'm doomed, oh, my God, I'd be in the deepest, darkest place in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That stuff happens all the time.
Yeah.
Like, so when, it's just not
are like, I'm not a lucky person or
that's
I'm
not
like
a healthy mindset.
Like speaking those things, like if something bad happens to me, I like won't talk about it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because I'm like, totally. I don't want to attract more bad things.
One thing that I think about a lot is the way that you handle negative situations says more about your character than the way that you handle good situations. If you can take something bad that comes at you with grace and turn it into a good thing or just find silver lining in it, that says so much about your character, about your maturity, and about your readiness to accept all the amazing other good things that are going to come into your life.
Yeah.
So if you're Alexa, dwelling...
I have got to hang out with you more
because I really need you to
help. I know. Isn't she like so like grounded and like
she's our little ray of sunshine over here. Sometimes we're clouds of darkness.
Well, we know
everyone is sometimes.
I never talk about bad things this week. Blah blah blah. That's out. Like yeah,
we both.
I'm so tired of all these trolls on TikTok. Like hearing complaining.
Hypocrites is what we are. But I try every
just
day.
Human.
Yeah, just human. Human.
Yeah.
But you do handle everything with such grace, and I love that about you.
Thank you. Yeah, you do. Well, because like I was saying earlier, when I was in my deep type A lifestyle, those types of things would always get down on me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was exhausting. And so when I released control of my life, I also was just kind of like, we're going to take everything with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
We celebrate the good things. We barely even notice the bad things. We try not to notice them. But you know what? It's like...
You just don't give them energy.
No. You do not waste energy on bad things.
Right. Or it's like, what can I learn from this?
Yes. I love looking at things as a lesson.
You know what I've noticed? Something I've tried to do less. And like, I love my dad. I idolize him so much. But he's like a perfect example of someone who never thinks about bad things or like focuses on them. And one thing I've also noticed, I'm like going on all types of tangents today. This is really
I
random.
I love it.
but he'll like never say like you can't do something or you can't have something. And it's not like about being like irresponsible, like with your money, like don't buy a Lamborghini if you can't afford it, whatever.
Sure.
But it's like, it's not like a mindset. Like, I don't know. Like, I just noticed this about him the other day, actually. That's why I'm bringing this up. It's like, it's never like everything's always a possibility. Mm-hmm. And then like, I noticed him being like that. And then I noticed like being around people who don't have that mindset. And they're like, I can't imagine wearing as much makeup as that girl wears, or I can't imagine being able to afford that. Or I can't imagine like taking that much time off work to go travel like that. Like, must be nice. Like, did all this stuff. And I'm like, but if you think that way about yourself, then you'll never ever have that life.
It's a restrictive mindset. And I know people usually associate that with like food or other stuff like that.
Such a good example.
And so treading very lightly on that subject, because that's not what we're here for. But the restrictive mindset applies to all aspects of your life. Restrictive in how you see what you can achieve. Restrictive in how you see your finances. Even if they aren't abundant at the moment, if you say, oh my God, I can't imagine seeing $1 million in my bank account, okay, then you probably never will.
No, never.
But if you say, oh, I could see that happening, and I'm probably going to make that happen soon. You never know what can happen.
Like, you go on a shopping spree like you already have $1 million, but it's saying like you welcome that into your life.
Yes, 100%. Yeah. And if you see, if you're jealous of people who have that lifestyle, but you're saying, oh, I just can't imagine my husband buying me a Birkin bag like Pookie, then you're probably never going to have a husband that buys you a Birkin bag.
Why does it matter if she has a Birkin bag? Like, it literally does not affect you. Like, honestly, oh gosh, here we go again. Oh my gosh, I'm negative.
No, it's okay.
But I just like,
you just talk about it sometimes. If you let it build up in yourself, it's not going to help at all. So don't, if you talk about it, don't be upset with yourself for talking about it, because at the end of the day, you're just releasing it.
I just like wish, I think it's actually though, like where it comes from for me is like, I wish that other people understood.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, you can have that. Like, maybe one day, like if you stop having this horrible mindset, like at the end of the day, like there's a ton of successful people out there who came from nothing. Like, it doesn't like you can be that story. That can be your story too.
Not a singular person in my family has or has ever had a Birkin bag. Do I think that I could see a Birkin bag in my future? Absolutely. I welcome a Birkin bag with open arms.
You welcome that energy.
So it's not even like a learned thing. Like, I'm pretty sure if I remember correctly, Campbell and her husband, I think his name is Jet. Mm-hmm. They met when she was like a bartender, I think. Like,
no, she was a flight attendant.
Flight attendant? Okay, yeah. So it's like,
you know, she's been the star of this episode.
I know. We should cut her a check.
They better listen to it.
I would say we should cut them a check, but they probably don't need it. I completely agree. It's a restrictive mindset. There is absolutely no reason to have a restrictive mindset, because it's not even like that stuff's unrealistic. Like, you're being hopeful. And at the end of the day, whatever you consider manifesting to be, that could be considered manifesting.
Oh, yeah. It's always like the people are like, don't get your hopes up. That's not a reality for
you. I am a hopeful girl. I will hope for everything. Same. Always. What There's no reason lose? Not to. It brings me joy. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, I would love to dust off my Birkin bag on my shelf. Yeah, that's fun. I like that.
No, literally. Like, joy. If Max is ever like, let's go to Hermes, like, I'm getting you a bag. Like, I'm not going to be like, no. Actually, stop right there. There's people who don't have this, so I shouldn't have it either. Like, what the fuck?
I'm going to be like, okay, I'll be in the car waiting.
Like, okay, perfect. What color were you thinking? Like,
I'm thinking black with gold heart.
Love. Timeless. Beautiful.
That's funny.
Well, is it the picnic Birkin? That's going to be me. Like,
I love the picnic Birkin. Okay, I've been learning more about Birkins, mainly because of Pookie. I've looked into it more, and my boyfriend is a huge investment guy. Like, he loves an investment.
This
and
is perfect for
him that Birkins appreciate. He was like, oh my God.
We're getting Mama a Birkin.
Mama's getting a Birkin, y'all. No. I'm like the ripe age of 23. I am not getting a Birkin right now. But actually, you know what? Maybe I am.
She's there goes
the restrictive mindset. Maybe I am getting a Birkin.
Maybe.
Next time I'm on the pod.
She's pulling up for Birkin.
That would be ridiculous.
I'm kind of more of a Kelly girl, I think.
I like a smaller moment.
I know a lot of people don't agree with this, and I swear we'll wrap up after this. I love a Chanel bag, which I know their quality's gone down and the price has gone up and blah, 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 whatever people say.
I
like an Hermes bag. Don't get me wrong. I'm not like saying no to a Birkin, but like I'm such a Chanel girly. Like, there's a lot of Chanel bags I would rather have than the Birkin, which is crazy, I feel like.
I know.
Because a lot of people are like, they don't hold, they kind of hold their value, but the quality, I feel like it's not there.
One thing that makes me giggle is when people make comments about how people actually use their Hermes bags. And I'm like, well, why would you spend all that money for it to just sit on your shelf? Biggest,
or like, oh, you burn your luxury candles. Like, I can't imagine wasting like them.
If I buy something that's expensive, I'm looking at it as a price per wear situation. Mm-hmm. If I buy a $200 dress, I'm wearing it 200 times.
Yeah. I think it all goes back to like, you can't have this scarcity mindset. Like,
right.
This is such a precious item. I don't deserve to use it is really right. What that mindset is.
Okay.
Nobody's saying like, slap it around, throw it in the garbage or something like that. Like, you don't have to treat it terribly.
Like, it doesn't have to be your diaper bag. Yeah.
I love how the Ulsa trends.
The beat up Birkin.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. It, but also at the same time, I'm like, use what you own. Like, you bought it to use it. Yeah. Like, not to...
No, yeah. If I got a Birkin bag, I would use it. 100%.
100% use it.
Jane Birkin would have wanted that. She would have wanted that.
Well, they made the bag for it to be used. Like,
right.
Bottom line.
Right. It is good quality. It's probably made for use.
I don't know. I think, like...
I feel like...
I use everything I buy. Like, no matter how nice it is, I use everything.
Yeah.
I don't have one thing in my closet that I have not used. I'm proud of that. I mean, maybe like some new items that I have yet to wear.
I'm like weird about perfume here and there, but then I'm like, if I die tomorrow, I want to smell good.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
This has been a fun conversation.
I've been having the best time.
I know, me too. Okay, before we wrap up, we have some rapid fire questions that we wanted to ask Alexa. Reeves, do you want to take it from here?
Of course. Okay. Favorite makeup product?
The Drunk Elephant bronzing drops.
Those are good.
I love that. Mix them with some SPF. Mm-hmm. A must.
TikTok or Instagram?
Okay, TikTok, but I'm growing to love Instagram. But I would say TikTok right now.
Yeah. I feel like you're like TikTok girly.
Yeah, that's where I started. That's where this whole thing started.
Favorite workout class?
Pilates. No questions asked.
Love Pilates. Who's your favorite influencer?
I've been loving Kennedy Lyons right now. She lives in Utah. She's a nursing student. I love her energy so much. Also love Emily Kaiser. Very similar energies. Love them. Very positive people.
I don't know that. I don't know Kennedy.
She's precious. You would love her.
You would like her.
Okay, I need to follow her. Go-to coffee order?
Iced vanilla latte.
Mm-hmm, me too.
With regular milk. Questionable.
Love that.
I might get some hate for that. Don't cancel me.
It's Dairy Girl Summer.
It is Dairy Girl Summer.
Okay, and then dress up or dress down?
Dress up. 110%.
I think so too. It just gives you a whole wave of confidence.
Just makes me feel good about myself.
Yeah, it does.
I love that.
Yeah. Okay.
This has been so much fun.
It's been so much fun.
This has been a cute episode.
The sun is setting. Came here, the sun was fully up.
What is that?
Whoever has to edit this, bless your soul.
That would be me.
Bless your time.
Can't wait. No, mm-hmm. I have so much fun editing these episodes, honestly. Mm-hmm. Like, it's fun to listen back to the conversations. But yeah. Okay, I think that's about it for today. Thank you guys so, so much for listening to today's episode. If you enjoyed the Spritz O'Clock Talk today, please make sure to like this video. If you're watching on YouTube, give us a 5-star rating on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, leave a review. We literally read all the comments and reviews every single time, and we appreciate them so, so much. So it never is lost on us. If you guys have any questions, comments, concerns, ideas, or feedback, you can always find both Reeves and me on social media. I'm at It's Amanda DeWitt, and she's at Reeves_Lee. We also now have the Spritz O'Clock podcast, Instagram, and TikTok, which we will link down below as well. And then we will also link Alexa's Instagram and TikTok down below so that you guys can go follow her. She's such aesthetically pleasing and just like inspirational content. She's one of my obviously favorite people IRL, but also social media follows. So I always get like the best vibes.
Love you guys. She's fabulous. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me again. I'm so honored.
With that being said, ta-ta for now. And we will see you guys here next Tuesday for a new episode. Bye.